Hey, lockdown's got me thinking this week. I'm indulging a little bit too much in food and drinks. We don't judge. But I want to talk about Melbourne's fantastic new chocolate box. Yum.
Now you got me thinking. Mm. I've got a real automotive theme for this episode of The Source.
Oh.
Not as exciting as the chocolate, but there's some good stories in here. This is The Source, brought to you by Byron Bay Peanut Butter.
The weird and wacky week that was. This is The Source with Cindy and Daz, thanks to Byron Bay Peanut Butter.
How much do you love your wine?
Well, I'm not a major fan of wine or whining. Is the story going to be about wine or are you whining about wine?
I'm whining about wine.
I'll tune out for a little bit.
Yeah, why not? No, you'll like it, I promise you, because it's really, really interesting what people are doing to get creative in these really strange times right now, because there's really not much fun about living through a pandemic.
Well, I can't find any positives out of it at all.
No, a lot of people are trying to figure out ways that they can do things to fix their situations or to make some money in these really hard times.
Mm-hmm.
People are kind of finding solutions to make life slightly more bearable, and this is why I like wine.
Wine, alcohol in general makes things generally better.
Yeah. So there's some back streets in Florence. Now, wouldn't you like to be there? I don't actually know.
Probably not at the moment, but at some stage I'd like to go. It'd
be beautiful, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
There's a tradition that was once used to combat the Black Death. It's now being repurposed as the nation tackles coronavirus. I've got your attention now, haven't I?
You have, yeah.
Now, you ready for my best Italian here?
This could be Sri Lankan. It could be Norwegian.
Okay, I'll try this. Bouchette del vino.
It was pretty good.
Thanks.
I don't know whether it was right or not, but it sounded okay.
Thanks. It really... sorry to all the Italians out there that I've insulted, but it means wine windows. It's an innovation that can be seen through the historic towns across the city of Tuscany at the moment. Now, what they used to do, I'll tell you in just a moment, but what they're using them for now, they're little wine windows. They work as a hatch out onto the street, allowing glasses of booze to be passed in and out without risking exposure to the elements.
Oh, so we're just going for a wander down the streets of Florence and just stop by a window.
Yep.
Grab ourselves a glass of vino, and that would be Kino.
Okay, all right. So tourists have looked at them for years and they've been, like, really curious about them because they have not been in action. But now they're getting a new lease of life, which is obviously not for the tourists because there isn't any there.
Mm.
Even though many of the windows were tragically lost during the local floodings in the 1960s, they've been a new boom to many businesses around the place at the moment.
I like it. Ingenuity.
Now, wine bars including Babay and Osteria del Brescia, I don't know if that's right either.
I'm just not really sure about the shoulder movements here as you delivered that. It's all about the delivery indeed.
Oh, I'm so sorry to anyone I've offended with my really bad accent, but they've made the most of their windows, offering locals and visitors a unique form of service onto the street. Now, so if you're walking along, you can actually go and buy. I don't know if you're going to see a person. Do you bend down and look in the windows? Because they're quite low.
I think you'd just be, I don't really know. I'd have to have a look at some pictures of that.
Yeah, they look like, so let me kind of put this in perspective for you. They kind of look like a little mouse house. You know, when you're in the movies, you see these little...
Yep.
Arched, like, you know, things that look like windows. They're just there in the middle of brick walls.
So who are they there for? Who wanders along and grabs them? It's just
just
anybody.
I'm assuming that you're paying for your glass of wine, but then what do you do with it? Do you just stand out the front and loiter with it or not?
Well, you wouldn't imagine you'd be able to wander away with the glass.
No, I wouldn't think so either.
Or the flute, whatever you put it in. Is it a flute?
Or a bucket, if you may. I don't know, but I do really like the idea. But they're obviously not in stage four lockdown over there.
No, absolutely not. And I'm just thinking, because for you wine snobs, you are very, very selective of what you drink.
Yeah.
So how do you know? Is there a particular window for a particular vineyard, or how does that work?
Assuming that you would know where to go for your wine.
So you'd head down to South Poplar Street for a Chardonnay.
Probably.
In the little hatch window, the little mouse window.
And I don't know what happens when you get there because they're quite low. So you bend down and say hello to Jenny inside. That's her Aussie-Italian name.
She's from the block.
Yeah.
Jenny.
and you say, "Hi, Jen, can I have the 2017 Pinot Noir, please?"
Wow.
I don't know.
See, wine's not.
Oh, I don't know.
Great idea. Great inception.
I'll just go to Liquorland, I think.
I think it might be easier. We're still out there.
I know, yes.
Hey, I know you're a major fan of movies and TV shows. You're all over that. Busy Netflix.
Yeah, okay.
This one's not for Netflix, but the cult classic 80s TV series Knight Rider is headed back to the big screen.
Yeah, right.
In its own movie adaptation.
Oh, you're going to love this.
According to Deadline, the project is a collaboration between Spyglass Media Group and Atomic Monsters' James Wan and Michael Clear. Now, I don't know about you, but I really can't wait for this one because I liked Mike Knight Rider and David Hasselhoff. He was Michael Knight, of course.
Yep.
The show ran on NBC from 1982 to 1986. Now, I thought it was a little bit longer than the 4 years, Michael. And it featured David Hasselhoff, the Hoff himself, as Michael Knight, who fought crimes with the help of his highly intelligent, high-tech car named... Do you remember?
Kit. Kit.
Well done, see? You're in the TV shows. Now, it sounds ridiculous, but for some reason it really worked. It just did work.
It was so dumb.
It was incredibly successful. There have been plenty of spin-offs and films based on the show, not to mention comics, video games, and even an annual convention known as NightCon.
Oh.
In other words, there's definitely a market for a movie, especially considering how big nostalgia projects are at the moment. So I think this one will be a major hit when it does hit the big screen. The script is being adapted by TJ Fixman. He's a former video game writer who should have an interesting take on the classic. We don't know much else about the plot, but it's understood that it'll be set in the present day and will keep the anti-establishment tone of the original. What else do we know? My big question will be, does the Hoff make a comeback? Now, the Hoff's probably 97 now.
97 and a half, yeah.
97 and a half. So he might be a little old for it, but he is older. Fans would love to see him reprise the role of Michael Knight regardless, and there would be a way that they could do that,
100%.
Perhaps if they're trying to renew the franchise with a new lead actor, they could bring Hasselhoff in as a cameo.
Yes.
You got to give the a nod to the original here when you think about it, but I think there'd be some way that the Hoff could play a part in that.
Yeah, when they
now,
do that.
If you're a Knight Rider fan, you'll have to be patient since movie details are pretty much non-existent at the moment as we're going through this pandemic. He's hoping more information comes out soon because I can already tell it's going to be a good one. I think this one will be worth watching for sure. Probably come out in 2027 by the time everything else backs up. But I think when you look at some of the very popular TV series from the 80s, there's another one that pops into my head straight away, and it would be a great remake or a great movie. Now, he was a private investigator based in Hawaii, and he drove a Ferrari. No, and he had a very famous moustache.
Everyone right now is looking as saying you are such a moron.
Magnum.
Oh.
Magnum P.I.
Ah, white suits.
What Mr. Selleck is. No, that's Miami Vice.
Oh.
Oh, boy. I knew there's a reason we don't talk movies and TV shows on The Source. Now, I'm thinking of Thomas Magnum, Magnum P.I.
I was also thinking of Hawaii Five-O at the same time.
He was so far off the mark, it's not funny. Hey, a whole lot more to get through. This is The Source with Cindy and Daz. Thanks to Byron Bay Peanut Butter. Go check them alike because they're doing some great things. Yes. You can still buy peanut butter during a pandemic.
Oh, yes, you can. And Australia Post is working right through this pandemic too.
Shipped to your door. Stick around. We'll be back very shortly with a whole heap more.
Hi, it's Phil Collins for RAG, recording artists, actors and athletes against drink driving. Music is one of the most important things in my life, but nothing is more important than life itself. If you drink, then drive, you're risking your life and the lives of all Australians who are on the road. So when you plan a drink, always plan ahead. Arrange for someone who won't drink to be the designated driver or plan to stay the night somewhere close. You'll make the road a safer place for all of us.
This is The Source with Cindy and Daz.
You know, one of the things I love the most about Christmas.
Geez, we're talking Christmas. It's August. Is the lead up to Christmas?
I've got nothing to look forward to right now.
Nothing at all, eh?
There's nothing better. And you would know this too from having little kids back in the day. Your advent calendar. Every morning they wake up.
Oh, no. Cindy.
Oh, Darren does.
One morning they wake up and eat 24 chocolates. You know the way little kids are.
No way.
My boys did.
Did they?
There's no way they lasted for 24 days or 25 days. No way. Boredom. The next day they was half gone and then the second day they're all gone.
Are you joking?
No, I'm not.
Oh, wow.
You can confirm that with my boys.
Oh, wow.
That was just an instant, there you go. Go for your life. They're not under lock and key. Boys, heading on hard.
No way. My son used to, it was the favourite, like it was that whole lead up to Christmas. Every morning he would count it down and take that one chocolate. I had one of those ones that was huge and you would fill it yourself. So I used to put lots of different treats in for each day.
Wow. I would have gone in and eaten them myself.
No, not at all. No, he was really good with it, my son. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, you count down to the end when it's like, you know, the big party happens.
To the end.
To the end, yeah. Well,
I wonder if we ever get to Christmas.
Speaking of the end.
I wonder if Christmas will ever turn up this year. I might not even have it.
Don't know. For those that don't know, we're in Melbourne at the moment in Australia and we're in the middle of a six – well, we're not in the middle of it at all. We're in the start of a six-week lockdown, very, very, like, heavy stage four. And good on you, Melbourne-born handcrafted chocolatier Coco Black is going to get us through.
Well done, Coco Black.
They're offering some sweet relief in the form of a new chocolate countdown box.
Good job.
I love these businesses that are getting really savvy with this. So what they've done, they've made it almost like, well, they have made it like a advent calendar for the lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
So there's 42 days of lockdown, and what Coco Black have done is they've launched a sweet relief chocolate box to count down the six-week lockdown period with different flavours to be enjoyed every day.
You're all over this, aren't you? You're ordering as soon as we get off the mics.
Well, just thought maybe I'd make my own. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. That's
not supporting
terrible.
Local business. Supporting
it's
your
not,
own business.
Is it? No. Because, yeah, maybe I just want, like, maybe I'll make a wine glass one or something.
Yeah, that's right.
They will be, everyone that orders them, you'll be able to actually get 49 instead of 42. So there's a couple of little extras there to sweeten the deal.
Okay.
And what you do is each day you will open your little window and there'll be a little chocolate in there for you, including salted caramel, almond, pistachio. It's really like an adult's one, this one. Caramelized spicy pear and macadamia and wattle seed.
Wow. Mm. Wattle seed chocolate. Not sure about that.
For those that need something strong. Oh, hello. For those that need something stronger, there's a Bailey's in a single malt whiskey as well.
Just go with that one. Just give me all those. Thanks. Nothing else.
Just give me all the boozed up ones. Thanks, Coco Black. You can purchase it online. And so what they're doing is advertising it. So people in other states that feel sorry for us here in this horrendous lockdown can send it to their loved ones as well. That we're not sponsored by Coco Black in any form.
We could
at
be.
All. We could
if they're interested.
Be. But there's no rules on a podcast. So I can let you know that it's $99. That's a little bit steep.
How many chocolates? How many windows?
There's 49 chocolates. I suppose it's like nearly $2 each. Plus
they're pretty smacko kind of chocolates. They're not just the basic
Cadbury
Freddos.
You're absolutely right. I love a Freddo because I couldn't be more bogan, but that's why. It's only available online via Coco Black. Now, Coco Black, if you would like to prove me wrong so I can say that it's actually worth the money, just flick one out in the mail to me.
Yeah, just prove it.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
Coco Black, well done.
I love it.
And that's just thinking a little outside the box through a pretty tough time for businesses.
Outside
so well done.
Outside the chocolate box, that's right.
Now, if I had the money to buy a 3D printer, I could probably just about make one of those chocolate boxes.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be very tasty.
Well, who's to say it wouldn't be? Have you ever tasted one from a 3D printer?
No, but I'm pretty sure.
You stand corrected then.
I'm going to back myself on this one.
Of course
one.
You are.
Yeah.
A man in Florida has been arrested for purchasing a luxury car with a check he printed on his home computer. Now, this is not a 3D printer, but it just shows how creative some people can be. Casey William Kelly, he's a 42-year-old.
Good on you, Casey.
Was arrested last week for grand theft of a Porsche and the attempt to purchase luxury Rolex watches with fake checks. CWK. According to Walton County Sheriff's Office, the man walked into a car dealership. It's almost like the start of a joke. A man walked into a car dealership in Okaloosa County.
What's the punchline?
And he left in a Porsche. During the investigation, it was determined Kelly had purchased the Porsche 911 Turbo from a Porsche dealership in Destin by using a fraudulent check written for $139,203.05.
Wow.
Back late July, the police department said in a statement. The Porsche purchased by Mr. Kelly was reported stolen to the Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office after the car dealership could not cash the check it presented. What a surprise. Wouldn't you think as a high-ranking salesperson at the Porsche 911 dealership, you'd be checking the checks?
Wouldn't you be saying you can come back on Wednesday and pick it up after the funds cleared. Clear?
Yeah, you'd think so. Maybe things are a little bit desperate out there in the car world these days. Not only did he ride off in the stolen car, Mr. Kelly also posted a photograph on social media to show off his newest purchase. Of course you would. Well done, Casey. Now, after stealing the Porsche, Mr. Kelly went to a jeweller in Miramar Beach and attempted to purchase three Rolex watches with another fake check in the amount of $61,521.
Because you need three of them, yeah.
Well, you might as well think, if I'm going to buy a watch or Rolex, I might as well just get some from my mates.
Yeah, yeah.
They were obviously a little bit more on point.
Okay.
The dealership there at the jeweller at Miramar Beach, they've said, hey, hang on, this is something that looks a little fishy to me.
Okay.
So we didn't get the Rolexes, but he's still got the Porsche. Well, I'm assuming he hasn't got the Porsche anymore. He's been arrested. But that's ingenuity there as well, thinking outside the box.
I just want to know what this guy was thinking, though, because he knew that the cheque was not going to clear. So what was the thought process around that? I don't understand.
Trying to get in the head of someone that's into crime as a profession would be kind of a little bit difficult, I think.
Okay,
he went big.
Yeah,
he didn't just say, I'm just going to write a check for $25 and go to Macca's.
So, okay.
He went and got a Porsche.
I might have some crime mind going on here.
Because
wouldn't you just go on a holiday? Because he could have that holiday. You don't have to give back a holiday after you've had it.
You got to drive the Porsche. Don't know how long he had it for.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe he always wanted to drive one.
All right.
But now he's going to serve some time and he'll have the memories.
Always.
Of driving the Porsche. So the holiday would be good, yeah, but just like a one way or just book yourself on that trip to outer space.
I wonder if he named the car, because that's when things get really serious, when you name your car and you form that bond. I hope that hadn't happened yet, because that would have been devastating.
Might be a follow-up story to that. Well, we've still got a little bit more to get to. Cindy and Daz is, of course, the source, thanks to Byron Bay Peanut Butter. Stick around.
Emergency, police, fire, ambulance.
Hello?
Yes, police, fire or ambulance.
It's my friend. I love you, please.
Okay, look, I need you to stay on the phone. Just stay on the phone.
You dirty blow.
Okay, now hang on. Oh.
000's sole job is to connect you to emergency services. So please, stay on the line and you'll get help faster.
The Source with Cindy and Daz, all the weird and wacky stuff you might have missed this week.
When was the last time you ate? Probably a stupid question for you. When was the last time you ate until the point you thought you were physically going to see it again very soon?
Oh, it's been a while.
Yeah.
I kind of think you know. You go back to the days of Sizzler.
Yep.
Any all-you-can-eat buffets. Now, I know there's a lot of businesses that are closing at the moment. There's a place on the Burwood Highway in the southeast suburbs of Melbourne, and it was a Chinese buffet that you could go. And I had been there before, and it's closed now, unfortunately. Yep. But you used to go there, and you could just load up on everything. In Chinese, you could just feel like a pig as you wandered back out the door, and you think, I might go back half an hour later. I'm hungry again.
It's so yum. And do you know what? I just will say something. I feel like every time we're inside this studio, we talk about Sizzler for some reason. And then it gets me thinking about how good their garlic bread was. And every time we talk about Sizzler, I talk about the garlic bread. But it's
all-you-can-eat place is probably the last time that I felt like I was too full and I was going to throw up.
Right.
It's been a while.
Good. Okay. That's kind of what we do when we have something that we really enjoy.
Yep.
High-calorie, fatty foods. We just want one so we continue to eat. But a new study of people overindulging on pizza finds that if you're healthy and you don't pig out regularly, your body is going to be okay.
Well, in that case, let's order some pizza.
British researchers looked at the effects of eating until not just full, but so full that the participants couldn't take another bite. Oh, I feel sick just reading this.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
Then they tested the blood of 14 healthy young men who participated in the study to determine whether there were any changes in blood sugar, blood fats, insulin, and other hormones as well. I think as well, if you've got a whole bunch of young men, they're going to want to out-eat each other too, aren't they?
You know, a really good example of this, if you're not doing it all the time, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, we all know him as The Rock, or just R here as Friends of the Source.
Right.
When he has his cheat day, you want to go onto his Instagram and see his cheat day.
Is it binge? Is he binge eating?
Huge. Like it would be like 20 hamburgers.
Are you
But the rest of the time,
are you serious?
He's just burning it off like it doesn't even exist. So once every now and then is fine.
Okay. This team that did the study, they discovered that even when men had eaten double the amount of pizza that it would usually take them to eat comfortably, their blood test showed no negative consequences.
There you go.
Don't get excited about
this. I'm ordering
this.
Pizza for breakfast.
So what they're saying is that if they ate one pizza and they were full, they asked them to eat again and they have eaten an entire other pizza. So say your medium or your large pizza is 8 slices.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they're full on 8 slices, but they've decided to eat 16.
Okay. So they've said, no, I can't have any more possibly, but they've gone again.
Correct.
Right, okay.
Now, the study was published online recently in the British Journal of Nutrition. Betts and one of his co-authors who conducted the study, they stumbled upon the idea for the when they were studying, travelling to a conference. The only open airport restaurant was McDonald's, so they each got a McMuffin breakfast sandwich, as they call them over there.
Yeah.
They said, we ate them and we enjoyed them and we thought, oh, I could eat another one. And then it prompted a discussion about how many you think you could eat. It's such a bloke discussion.
Good on you,
and mates. What would be the psychological responses to eating more than just one?
Mm-hmm.
So they talked about this.
They're not really big.
Now they got on the flight. You're right. Mm. And they talked about it a lot. And then they decided to go through with this study. They chose pizza as their subject because they said it tastes good and people would keep eating it. It's also high in fat and carbohydrates. And it's a huge challenge to the body to eat more than one pizza. So that's why they went with that.
You know yourself, when you find a pizza that you like, a pizza place or a pizza parlor that you really like, that is your go-to. And you can eat as much of it until you can't eat any more you've found that right pizza.
It always seems like such a good idea, though. Like, I'll just have another slice and then you feel sick. No?
I remember those days.
Right. So this is what they were saying. Typically, blood sugars increase in response to how much a person eats. A small meal will result in fewer changes than a medium meal, for example. Yet after overeating, blood sugar was no higher than the normal meal.
There you go.
They found that the hormones that increased feelings of fullness changed the most.
Okay.
How ridiculous. Look, I love the concept, but why would you put someone through doing that?
I don't see what the value is of the study.
Me either.
It just means you can just eat more and it won't affect you. So is that encouraging people to go and eat more?
But it did say very much in moderation. Don't do it all the time, they said.
Because if you did that all the time, you would be the size of a small barn. You'd have nice pizza. You'd be enjoying your food.
You would be very much. But would you though? Because when you overindulge that much, it just becomes your normal, you know, your taste buds are used to it.
It's a battle with the with your little man upstairs, I think.
Your little man. Why little did man you look upstairs? At me when you talked about the little brain?
Well,
it's a little man upstairs.
Little man upstairs that makes the decisions. And we're over in New York and we found that fantastic pizza place and the slice of the pizza was the size of another small barn.
Oh.
Two slices of that. I was done.
Oh,
and I probably could have had another one.
That was the
But you just know that's enough.
Best pizza I have ever eaten in the world. Have you? No, you haven't been to Italy, have you?
No.
So I've eaten pizza in Italy as well, but that New York pizza.
New York pizza.
Oh.
If you ever hear people talk about how good New York pizza is or how good their New York hot dogs are.
Apparently there is a New York pizza place in Melbourne that would clearly be closed at
Sal's.
This time.
No, it's still open.
What?
Follow on socials.
Yeah, well, we can't go there. It's 5 kilometres out of our lockdown.
We'll get
rate.
There. I've told them. I've already had a conversation with them.
Have you?
I said, we'll come and see you we can.
That was high-pitched. I got excited.
A little bit. My left eardrum is bleeding.
Sorry. Okay, no more pizza talk.
But we'll get there.
Okay.
And we'll post it.
All right.
Now, you're into tractors. I know you're a big tractor fan.
Huge.
You've got a farming background and don't know that about you. A Suffolk man with a bizarre sexual attraction to tractors has been banned from the countryside and forced to sign the sex offenders register.
Okay.
Ralph Bishop, 53, is in the prime of his life. Was found by police with his trousers around his ankles interfering with a tractor parked in the fields outside Saxmundham.
No, your face right now is just one of
I know it's coming.
Such joy.
He was arrested on suspicion of outraging public decency and admitted to having had sex with around 450 tractors all over the Suffolk countryside. He's a bit of a player. Ralph. When officers searched his terraced home, they found a collection of more than 5,000 tractor images on his laptop. The photo showed Bishop had a special desire for John Deere and Massey Ferguson tractors, particularly green ones. He's big into the green ones. I was going to read that again. The photo showed Bishop had a special desire for John Deere and Massey Ferguson tractors. The green ones.
Could see your face right now.
Now, Bishop, not surprisingly, has been twice divorced.
Oh.
And was released without charge on condition he sought psychological help. He had put on the sex offenders registry. He's been put on that. A policeman added, he'll also need to keep away from the town's gardens. If he takes a fancy to a lawnmower, he might find he loses more than just his liberty. What a great story. If you wanted in, if you're a police officer and you wanted in just to get some evidence against Ray Bishop,
yeah,
and you open up his computer and found there was 5,000 tractor images on his laptop, how's that a chargeable offence?
I don't know.
5,000 tractors, but he loves the John Deere.
So why is it in my mind right now? You're talking about the little man upstairs in your mind before. Mine is just thinking, like, does he buy them a drink first or does he have a nice conversation? Does he drive them out to watch the sunset? Or, like, how does this work?
I don't know. I don't know. But I mean, everybody's got the loves of their lives.
Yeah.
I guess if Ralph loves John Deere's and Massey Ferguson's, well, then good on him. But not out in the countryside where the good folk of Suffolk aren't really taking a liking to his antics out in the green pasture fields of England.
I don't know what to say.
I don't know where else to go with that. But I couldn't wait to read about it.
I know, I can tell. What a great story. Oh.
Hey, we've had fun again. on a cheerful note. You can eat as much peach as you like and watch tractor porn. Obviously, great. That's what you can do. That's what you've learned out of today's episode of The Source with Cindy and Daz.
So worth it.
Thanks to Byron Bay Pen-Up Butter. Hope you're staying safe out there, everybody. We'll catch you again next week.
See ya.
See ya.
Thanks for listening. This has been another episode of The Source with Cindy and Daz. Thanks to Byron Bay Pen-Up Butter. For more episodes, head to extrabutter.com.au.